NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. It is Monday, March 25, all day. Geez, Mondays. And I'm a very sore James Clements. That's right, played the pub cricket big day not out yesterday. We won a couple of games, so your mate Jim played way more than he expected, and it hurts everywhere. That's right, I'm your host, James Clements, though. I am the host of the AFL Today Show. I am also the host of the official Supercoach AFL podcast. And you can see me on Fox Sports Lab NBA. All that good stuff. Here in Larry Armour Studios, hanging out, giving you the lowdown, all things NBA in Australia. Duop Reef goes bang on the weekend. How good was that? Portland started five rookies. That was bizarre. Jock Landau was also really good. But we had a few awesome games on the weekend. We'll talk through that in weekend winners and losers. Noice and what else? Well, we've got all the game reps from the weekend too. We've got That's Not a Knife, Old Mate No Mate, Sputter the Knife, Better Than Lonzo Ball, SMU Nas, there's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's an Andrew Gaze Grandmum Award and a Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot, Line 'Em Up Award, and we'll pick and preview all. It's a massive slate for Tuesday, which is a bit of a pain in the bum, but she'll be right. Lots of good ones there, too. So, you know, pick and preview all those. And we'll finish up with a deli review of Dune 2. Pretty fun. Sandworms, bro. Sandworms. All right, let's get into it. Episode 1060 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Better watch out for the Chuck attack. I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a Charles Barkley blimp for the Final Four when it comes to the NCAA tournament, which is pretty funny. Kind of like it. Here for it. You should also watch out for the attack of my mate Ado, who in the big day not out yesterday for pub cricket managed to take a four-wicket maiden, which is chaos considering you play little 10-over games in this tournament, you know, knockouts. And you only bowl one over each. Your mate Jim's shoulders rooted, so he didn't get to have a crack. But Ado, four-wicket maiden, not bloody bad. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip round. Yeah, on that, we taped a AFL Today show last night after the footy, and you made Jim, like, usually big day night out is one of my booziest days of the year. It's like Super Bowl, big day night out. It's just a long day of drinking. But because I had to work, yeah, had a couple of beers earlier on and then stopped and, yeah, woke up feeling substantially better than I would have. Every other part of my body, however, hurts, and I think I've broken my toe again. So good job there, Jim. Hey, Jimmy, you old? Yes, very. In terms of news, it was actually a pretty quiet weekend. It's all NBA gear. You had a couple of suspensions. We had a bit of a fight between Chris Dunn and Jabari Smith Jr. there. Facing up, giving the old 1-2 cost to Zoo, and they both got suspended. And they should have, because they kind of really did think about fighting. There were punches kind of thrown too. So you're like, well, yeah, they should probably get suspended. So I think Chris Dunn got two games and Jabari Smith Jr. got one. And yeah, Dunn, I think, initiated it and threw a punch and yeah, Jabari sort of like retaliated and had a crack. Weird fight, strange fight. I'm going to talk about it again later though. Mismatch, that's what I'm saying. The Trailblazers started five rookies against the Nugs. That was pretty funny and weird. The Grim Reaper himself was one of them. He had a really good game too, did doo-wop, bop-bop, doo-wop, shibbity-bop, doo-wop, bop-bop, doo-wop. And amazingly, without Joker and Jam and Jamal Murray, the Blazers actually really pushed them. They were getting straight killed, but then they bounced back and gave them a bit of a scare. So pretty fun. That was without, yeah, obviously the Joker and Jam and Jamal Murray. But doo-wop had 24 points and 8 rebounds. He was absolutely unreal. Hashtag better than dominating. Right. That was cool. So they started, what was it, five rookies, I think. So that's the first time that's happened in 50 years, which is pretty cool. Seriously, that's absolutely chaos. Five rookies, Second team to start five rookies since box scores were tracked in 70-71. That's absolutely nuts. First time since the Warriors did it in 2012 as well. It's pretty crazy. Second time in 50 years. First time in 12 years. Very cool. Right, what else? I mean, that was a fun game, but either way. Rusty Westbrook looks like he'll be back this week, which is kind of fun. They desperately need him. We'll talk about that again later. But he is getting much closer to returning, which is happy. Happy, happy news for Clippers fans. All 17 of you. But the Rusty situation, it's like it's weird how bad they've been, right? So he could be back tomorrow. We'll see what happens. What else? Brandon Spindles Ingram. We talked about this on Friday's show. The hyperextension of his knee looked really, really bad. That's good because he didn't actually tear anything. It seems like he's at least 2 weeks out. They're going to reassess in 2 weeks' time. Now, Spindles Ingram. Brandon Spindles Ingram has a bit of a habit of going, oh, yeah, this two-week injury is going to be at least five. So really bad timing for the Pelicans. Or is it? We'll talk about that again later. But just like the way that the Pelicans had been playing, like this is just the entire franchise is cursed. It's that weird, like, what was it? The Smoothie King Center baby weirdo thing. It was just like, that's just put a curse on your entire franchise. So, but he's got a bone bruise in his left knee, which is the best sort of outcome, I guess, outside of an MCL, ACL. So hopefully he's back within that sort of 2 to 3 week time frame. Fingers crossed for the Pelicans because they've already lost Dyson Daniels, who should be back hopefully this week too. But either way, we had finally Chris Paul versus Tony Brothers, the ref, which is always funny. Chris Paul got booted from their game the other day because he called him a TikToker. Why did he do that, Jim? Well, it's because Tony Brothers was on TikTok saying, "I don't care too much for basketball. But out there, I'm judge, jury, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, everybody." It's like, oh, power trip. I'm going to talk about this again later, but geez, do I not like that. Gross. Let's do some game wraps. Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps. That's right, all the game wraps from the weekend. If you cast your mind back to Saturday, Boston straight killed Detroit.
So he got straight killed.
129-102, no surprises there. But I guess like the cool thing about that is, and the way that some of these games have gone for Boston, there is no slip-up. Like, they are absolutely straight killing teams.
So he got straight killed.
Which is, if you're a Boston fan, that's awesome. Because they're also a team that just every so often just loses focus completely and falls apart. But Jaylen Brown was awesome in that one, 33. And James Wiseman is still around, and he was really good for the Pistons. The Thunder also took care of the Raptors, 123-103. SGA had 23-7-8. They smash-rated it. The Pelicans absolutely deleted the Heat.
So he got straight killed.
111-88. Bang! CJ went off for 30. They absolutely crushed him. Oh boy. Weird one for Miami. The Wolves absolutely, again, handled the Cavs. That's right, Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Because, I don't know, this was like a weird game that we talked about on Friday. The size of the Wolves with Rudy Gobert, is that what that were? And Naz Reid back, boom, lock that in as a win. And they just had a really good all-round team effort. Like, I think Naz Reid had like 18 points and hit a bunch of threes and off they went. Whereas Cleveland, it was like a rough shooting night for Garland and LeVert. And yeah, once that's happening, you're cooked, mate. So I think Garland went 0 of 6 from 3. I was watching that game just going, oh, they're kind of close. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, bang. Third quarter, smash-rated the Wolves. Good stuff there. The Grizzlies outlasted the Spurs 99-97, as predicted by your mate Jim on Friday's show. Triple J had 28-7. Wembanyama had 31-16 with 3 blocks and 5 assists. Not bloody bad. The Frenchman can play. The Pacers, as also mentioned on Friday's show, beat the Warriors 123-111. And just saying, Warriors were in a little bit of trouble. 26-11 for Tyrese Halliburton, 25-11 for Steph. Not enough. Clippers kind of gave up the ghost against the Blazers late. Paul George at 31. They went at 125-117. They were killing them. And if you, geez, I don't know, bet on the Clippers, you'd be a bit filthy that they only won by 8 because they just gave up. And in the last, I want to say, 2 minutes, this just got out of hand. Like, it was just a bit silly to the point where you're like, hang on, did the Clippers bet on this game? Because I believe they're up 21 points. The Clippers, 21. That's a lot of points, right? Just, you know, just saying. 21 points is a lot of points with 4 minutes to go. And then it was basically a, I believe, 14-3 run over the last couple of minutes out of nowhere. And the Blazers came all the way back and blew your betting line. The Lakers handled the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey had 27, but look, the Lakers were way too good in that game. Watched a bit of this one with the squid. Had a good time. Tobias Harris had like the 16, 13, and 4, and this is like the classic Tobias Harris game. I love a good Tobias Harris game. You know that. What is the classic Tobias Harris game, Jim? Well, I don't know. Hey, Tobias, we don't have Joel Embiid. You're being paid $35 million. Do you reckon you could score some points to help us out and try to beat the Lakers? You got a boss. 16 points. They're like, Tobias, no, look, we're paying you $35 million. Can you shoot better than 30% from the floor? He's like, 30% it is, boss. It's like, no. Can you shoot more? He's like, you got a boss, 30%. It's like, fucking Tobias Harris. 6 of 18 he shot, 1 of 6 from downtown, 16 points on 18 shots. Thanks for coming. That's money well spent for the Sixers. Maxey had 27 on 26 shots, not much better. 1 of 9 from downtown, but at least he was trying. The Lakers killed him. The Lakers had a pretty good weekend, I'll tell you that much.
The Lakers
were very good. That was Saturday. What about Sunday's games? We had a weird mix where the Knicks just kicked the crap out of the Nets early on, 105-93. Just a laugher. The Knicks were like right there. Look, Nets actually led after the first, after Mikal Bridges hits like that crazy buzzer beater. But Dante DiVincenzo ends up with 31, crushed it. The Kings outlasted the Magic in a classic. The Souvlaki King at 21, 14, and 8. Johnny Isaac went buying for 25 for the Magic men, but 22 for Paolo Banchero. With the 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Wendell had a shocker. Suggs had a shocker. It was a lot of Johnny Isaac. You're like, that's pretty fine, I guess. He was a plus 26 in a game they lose by 2. Unfortunately, they didn't stop De'Aaron Fox at all. He had 31-8. And, got cooked. It was a rough one. Enjoying the Magic, enjoying the Kings, and this was a classic. It was a really fun game. It came all the way down to the wire. The free throws, Keon Ellis hitting free throws to get them over the line. De'Aaron Fox hit the go-ahead ones with like 20 seconds left and pretty bloody good game. Good win for the Kings. A really good win. The Hawks absolutely smashed it. They killed him. They absolutely straight killed the Hornets.
So he got straight killed.
132-91. DeJounte Murray had the 28-12. The Wizards beat the Raptors in a tank off. I kind of talked about this one that it'd be pretty close. The Raptors had given him a run. And the Wizards held on to win, 112-109. Denny Avdija, 22-13. Just saying, Wizards, you'd be looking at this the entire like rest of the season just going, oh, can we just see some like good stuff from our dudes? And Denny Avdija, it's like, yeah, this dude can play in the NBA. This is good. Same with Corey Kispert. He had, 18 in that one. He hit 4 threes. And it's like, weirdly, it's Kuzma and Poole who are kind of like, you know, sort of just baseline normal. And they're young dudes who are actually winning those sorts of weird little games to the Wiz now. So that's good. Celtics killed the Bulls, 124-113 on a back-to-back. Sam Hauser dropped 23. It was on fire, was White Mamba. And you had the Houston Rockets kill the Jazz. It's a soft J. It's Yaz, 147-119. Because Jalen Green went off, Jock Landau was awesome. Really fun game. With a punch on. And the Suns and the Spurs, 131-106. Suns killed him. 32 for Booker with 9 assists. Very cool. And the Nuggets, as mentioned, without Jamal Murray or the Joker, held on to beat the rookie Blazers with doo-wop, shabab, doo-wop, going for 24-8. Very nice. And then today's games. Pelicans beat the Pistons, 114-101, because the big rig himself, Zion, trucked them for 36-7-6. He was awesome. God, I love it when Zion just goes, oh, yeah, I'm really good. Check this out. Sixers beat the Clippers. This was a big, 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 big win for the Sixers and a big, 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 big loss for the Clippers. 121-107. Maxey goes for 24. No one on the Clippers wanted to be there or do this game. Not ideal. The Heat smashed the Cavs. 121-84. Talk about swings and roundabouts for the Heat this weekend. Jeez. 15-16-5 steals for bam, bam, Adebayo. And they just completely shut down the Cavs in the second and third quarters, where I think they scored like a total of 35 points across those two quarters. I'm no mathematician, but if you spend half the game scoring a total of 35 points, you're probably going to lose. The Thunder also got doubled up in the third quarter by the Bucks. This was a really fun game until the Bucks went, it's literally the verbal meme, leaning forward with the controller. Like the Bucks started paying attention and they straight killed the Thunder. I'm actually mentioning this on Friday's show. I thought the Thunder would sort of go into this game and the Bucks were just that little bit hungrier and at home. They might handle OKC, who have looked a little bit wobbly the last couple of weeks, and I was right. The way that the bottom just fell out of the Thunder team today, SGA was really well held. It was interesting listening to the Bucks broadcast talk up Dame Lillard's defense, which is hilarious because it's like, oh, we get it. You're the local broadcast, so you're just a PR firm for the team, which is not great, and I don't think it's very fun unless you're like a hardcore fan of that team. But at the same time, that's what they do in the States. That's fine, do you think? I'd actually love that for footy. Can you, like, we do have, like, you know, little sort of alternate broadcasts for fan broadcasts, which I'm here for. But yeah, the local broadcast, something of the Bucks thing, it's like they kept banging on about Dame's defense. Like, we asked Doc Rivers about what he thinks about Dame's defense. He's like, yeah, he's underrated. It's like, no, he's not. He's a turnstile and he's horrible. Josh Giddey was lighting them up. But SGA just had a rough night. Had the clamps sort of put on him. And their schemes in Milwaukee for basically hiding Dame are really good. But when Middleton's up there and getting triple-doubles and like the Bucks are just sort of flying around, and if they're dropping 34 on you in the third quarter or you only score 17 and Josh Giddey's basically your only offensive weapon that's actually on fire, yeah, you got some problems there. So OKC, like, this is the sort of game where you look at this and go, the point that you made of not making a move before the trade deadline, this is the sort of game where it comes back to bite you on the ass because Chet couldn't hit the side of a barn. J-Dub was 8 of 15. SJ was 5 of 12. Dort was 2 of 8. Kendrick Williams was 2 of 7. Kayson Wallace was 2 of 9. They shot 37% as a team. It was horrible. And Josh Giddey was their best three-point shooter, which is not a said did you hear often. He finished with 19, 9, and 8 and was fantastic. Everybody else sucked. Giannis said 30, 19, and 4. And I do love that Chris Middleton got to stay in and get his Jason Kidd triple-double. What was it, 11, 10, and 10? I think it was, yeah. Better Nash. Good win for the Bucks. They look solid. 118-93, that was. The Wolves held off the Warriors. Clay had a chance to tie this. Leaves it short. Absolutely dinosaur-armed it. And the Wolves hold on for a win with some Anthony Edwards free throws at the end. Really fun game. 114-110. Go back and watch this. We tipped the Warriors, I think, and Steph tried his hardest to win this game, but didn't quite get there. And the wheels are off in San Francisco. And then finally, the Lakers, in a high-scoring affair, 150, beat the Pacers 145. Hey, I thought the refs were, like, really making sure that people can't score now because of, like, the rule changes that they said they didn't do, but they definitely did, man. Yeah, and then sometimes you just have a game where no one plays defense. That's what this one was. The Lakers had cracked the ton by the end of the third quarter and still threw in 34 points in the fourth quarter. They're up like 21 or 19, I think it was. And then out of nowhere, it was like a seven-point game and the Pacers just absolutely flew at them. Had a really good chance right there at the end to actually tie it up and get right there. They're playing the free throw game. The Lakers kept missing free throws, but they hold on. 150-145. AD has 36 and 16 rebounds. Pascal Siakam at 36. The big problem for the Pacers is that Tyrese Halliburton couldn't hit a shot. He was 5 of 13, 2 of 6 from downtown. He had 12 points. It's just gross. Like, Naismith was really handy. TJ McConnell had 17 and 7. Miles Turner had 20 points and 5 rebounds. And yeah, it was amazing. They couldn't keep up with the Lakers team where he had 36-16 for AD. He had 26 and 10 assists from LeBron James. And Spencer Dinwiddie started because D'Lo was sick. And he was really good. 26 points, 5 assists, 8 of 11 shooting. Bloody good. Austin Reeves also chucked in 25 and 8. If you've got four dudes scoring over 25, you're going to have a hard time stopping them. All right, let's do an NBA Australia. What is it? Weekend winners and losers.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is
me.
Ken Brockman. Can we get a shot of me?
There you go.
Another news.
Horrible mix-up. Cleveland. Weekend winners. Easy one. Houston. Why is that, Jim? Well, it's because they've won 8 straight because the rooster, Jock Landale, is awesome and clearly better than Alperen Şengün. Maybe not, but, you know, just saying. the fact that he's still not starting, and because they're starting small, is hilarious. And it's like, sometimes you fall ass backwards into awesome lineups, and I feel like that's what Houston have done. Şengün, like, I think people, like, taking a victory lap, we go, oh, see, this is why you bring in the veterans like Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, like, without stymieing the development of your young dudes. They did stymie the development of the young dudes for half the season. And now that they get to play Amen Thompson alongside Jabari, who's playing in the five and stuff, and Jalen Green just gets the car keys because they don't have to run everything through Şengün, they look incredible. And so Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks get to sort of be the breaking case of emergency, steadying influences they should have all been. Whereas like with Şengün, it's like we're going to play a certain way. Now Houston are absolutely rolling. They are one game behind the Golden State Warriors of Golden State. Well, they were of Oakland, California. They are now of San Francisco, California. But that is chaos. The Rockets have won 8 on the trot. They're 35-35. The Golden State Warriors at 36-34, only one game ahead in the 10 spot. That is unreal. Houston are just nipping at their heels for the 10 seed. You love to see it. And Jock Landale is playing himself into a, hey, somebody better pick up that team option on his contract. So $8 million. Hello. The Wolves, that was a big win over the Warriors. They desperately needed it too. So the Wolves have just ripped off a couple in a row again and are feeling good about themselves after beating the Cavs and then basically deleting the Warriors today right down the stretch was awesome. That's just one of those games you go, yeah, we're for real. Like, seriously, like Warriors aren't sort of screwing around at the moment. They're going to pop up again in a second, but goddamn, great win by the Wolves. I think just basically if you surround Ant-Man with dudes like Nazareth, with dudes like Rudy Gobert, and let him go to work, you'll see the results, eh? You'll see the results. Miami, look, they got smashed the other day, but to turn around and then smash the Cleveland, I believe. Where are they from?
Cleveland!
Cleveland Cavaliers. For the Heat to turn around and absolutely smoke them today was really impressive, and they desperately needed to do that because they're basically tied up with the next team, which is Philly. And Philly had to turn around their weekend as well with a big win over the Clippers this morning because both of those two teams are 39-32. Why is that important? Well, that's the 7-8 seeds right now as everything stands. They're a half game back of the Pacers after the Pacers lost. So both of those teams winning means that they're weekend winners because they very easily could have been weekend losers having lost earlier in the weekend too. So great job to pull it back by the Sixers and the Heat. And you love to see it. I'll tell you what, that also means the Lakers are winners because they have won a few on the trot now. What was that, 3 straight? Beating the Sixers the other day, then turning around and beating the Pacers. Very nice, but also the way that they're playing, they're 39-32 as well. They've now got a little bit of distance between them and the Warriors, like 2.5 games. They are probably a little far back from like the Mavs and Kings and the Suns. But I mean, all the Lakers can do is just keep winning. Just keep winning. Just keep winning. And that's what they're doing. Because they do finish off, like, they've got a weird run down the stretch where they play the Grizzlies a couple of times. They've got a Wizards game in there, a Nets game. Let's take a look at the Lakers one. Right, so they play the Bucks later this week in a big TNT game. That's going to be huge. Then they play the Grizzlies, the Pacers, who they just played a game, the Nets, who have given up the Ghost, the Raptors, who are tanking, the Wizards, who are tanking, Cleveland are a bit wonky, but then you've got a Wolves game and a Warriors game, which might decide what's going on with their setting, and they finish up with the Grizzlies and the Pelicans. So, I don't know. The Lakers had to win these games this weekend. It's exactly what they did, and the way they did today by putting up 150 despite giving up 145 was pretty impressive. Good job. The Suns! There's a couple of good wins for Phoenix. That's right. They've now won, I think it might be 3 on the trot, but they needed to. Quite desperately, because their stuff was getting a bit squirrely. So they've ripped off now wins against the Sixers, the Hawks, and the Spurs. The Spurs win, Luke. They just took care of business. The same thing against the Hawks, too. So good job by the Suns. As long as they stay healthy, that's all that matters to them. Obviously, you want to land the sixth seed, but as long as you've got Durant, Beal, and Booker out there, alongside Nurk and Grayson Allen, you're going to feel vaguely good about yourself. So good job by the Suns. Good win. That they have a couple of good wins over the weekend. Then you had Toronto. But Jim, they've lost 10 straight, and that is how you tank. They are crushing the tanking. That is fan-bloody-tastic. They're like, hey, nah, seriously, man, check this out. We're kind of trying, man. We're not trying. It's awesome. Great job, Toronto. Like, this is Messiah going, we finally get to do what I want to do, which is actually just tank. I love it. I'm just going to tank so hard, bro. You're not going to know what happens. Like, you can't lose to the Wizards and, like, not be tanking. So that's exactly what they're doing. You love to see it. Great job, Toronto. When they're rolling out, like, the lineups that they are at the moment, which is Grady Dick, Oktay Agbaji, Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr., and Kelly Olynyk, the Hoosier, and, like, Jemias Ramsey. Like, yeah, unserious people. I love it. Good job, Toronto. That's some good tanking. Remember, they've got to land in the top 7 to keep their pick from the ill-fated Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl trade. The Kings, they got a big, 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 big win against the Magic Men. Like, because if they had have cooked that, losing to the Wizards the other day, that would have just been an absolute kick in the dick, and you're like, all right, pack it up, boys, you're in the play-in. But getting the bounce-back win against a really good Orlando team was huge for the Kings because, I mean, as I've sort of mentioned, they're still right there in the 7th spot, tied up with the Mavs in the 7-8, so, and a half game back of the Suns. So that's why that Suns win was good. The Kings needed to keep winning, and that's what they did. That's why they're weekend winners. Do you get it? Makes sense, right? Finally, the Celtics just quietly kicking the shit out of everybody. It's pretty good. And hashtag NBL Australia. Weekend winners, Jack McVay and that insane tray. Are you fucking kidding me? That shot was incredible. The stones. Bloke's got stones the size of Uluru. Delhi got cooked by Goulding flopping. So they turned the ball over in the inbounds with 6 seconds left, up one. McVay just goes, right, I'm just going to take this at Delhi. Launches from the logo. Bang. Jackie's win game 3. 2-1 lead in the NBL Finals. March. I love it. What a fun game that was. Absolutely insane. Nice one. What about some weekend losers, though, Jim? Come on.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Losers.
Loser.
Losers. Losers. A couple of losers. Orlando losing that one to Sacramento was a real kick in the dick. But for me, obviously, the big one is Golden State. That's right. Steph, Clay, and Go. Oh, we'll get Draymond back. It'll be fine. Now, they're basically cooking their season. And as mentioned, Steve Kerr is like, oh, nah, man. The amount of play Steph Curry doesn't really impact winning. It's like, oh, I don't know, Steve. I think it might a little bit. They were minus 11 in the minutes that Curry didn't play in that game. Lose by 4. That seems like a problem. And it was weird. He sat, 18 minutes in this game, and they sort of sat him for a big chunk of the fourth quarter, and you're like, I don't know. Pretty bad idea. 36-34, they're one game up in the Rockets. Could the Warriors miss the playoffs? Yeah, nah, yes! Most definitely they could. Like, these two losses on the weekend were absolutely brutal because they sort of showed you the two different sides of the Warriors where they have, like, all the sort of weird swagger and chutzpah of the former Warriors. But because they're that little bit older, they don't seem to have just that killer instinct if Johnny Cumbucket, Kuminga and co. aren't out there crushing it. And it's like, this is suddenly a lot of pods that you're relying on. It's suddenly a lot of Trace Jackson Davis, you know? And so Kuminga was really good in the Wolves game, but it was like, you're not running stuff for him. Steph was okay. Clay was there. And then it's just very little else. So pretty weird, pretty funny. Warriors missing out on the playoffs. So Adam Silver is going to be pulling some levers. I don't want to see the Houston Rockets in the 10 seed. So look out for some weird Rockets losses. I'll tell you. While I die over here. God, I can't even cough right because my ribs kill me. It's from all the batting I did yesterday. Oh, did you also play cricket, Jim? Okay, see you, weekend losers. Oh, Jesus, Jimmy, they played the Bucks. Yep, it was a big test and they failed it. The Thunder have had a few games like this as well this season, right, where you're like, all right, it's a big sort of nuts on the line, prove it game. And this is a team that's still figuring out how to win some of those games. Like they had that really good win against the Mavs last week. They had a good win against the Heat, stuff like that. They lost to the Lakers. They beat the Suns really well. They beat the Clippers a few weeks ago as well, very, very handily. But they sort of keep winning a bunch of these, like it's like three or four games in a trot, then they have a weird loss. And it's sort of just how they do things. But I don't know. They've got like a pretty tough run home. Do the Thunder, where they play, I think, yeah, they've got the Pelicans next up. Then they play the Rockets, which is pretty crucial. The Suns, the Knicks, the Sixers, the Celtics, the Pacers, then a gimme against the Hornets, the Kings, the Spurs, the Bucks, and the Mavs to close out the season. It's a pretty tough run. So just keep an eye on OKC. Like, these are the sorts of games against the Bucks. You're on the road, I get it. But it all sort of just went a bit sideways. The Bulls, two straight losses for them. Now, tough one on the weekend. You're facing against the Celtics. We knew that they were going to have a rough one, but look, Chicago, this is the classic one. Can't get to 500. Brooklyn losing to the Knicks, not even being vaguely competitive after the first quarter. Look, this team is cooked. They're getting just absolutely like rammed by like their borough neighbors now, whereas it used to be like a bit of a rivalry. Now the Knicks are like just like clowning them. So good stuff by Brooklyn. Six straight losses for a team that's not tanking is absolutely inexcusable. Like, sure, Marks probably has to go at this point. You may as well just go, right, fuck it. We're completely cleaning house. New GM, new coach, because Kevin Ollie is clearly not the dude. Six straight losses when you're like actually trying your hardest with the roster basically at full strength. Yeah, you've done fucked it. Brooklyn are toast. They're just they're missing like Dorian Finney-Smith, and that's kind of it. And yeah, this team is just brutal, gross, disgusting. So, oh, no, we don't want to trade like some of our like dudes. Like, oh, we want to keep Dorian Finney-Smith, man. Like, why? You know? Just saying. Yeah, it's just weird, right? It's just weird, man. Dorian Finney-Smith played in that Knicks game. What am I talking about? Yeah, he's been back. So their lineups of like Schroeder, Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Bridges and Claxton. It's like, yeah, that's kind of like their dudes. DFS coming off the bench. You've got Sharp. You've got Dennis Smith Jr. You've got Lonnie Walker. And the team just stinks. So, yeah, fire it all into the sun. That's my point. The Clippers. That was a bad loss to Philly. Their weekend losers. Harden's now bouncing before the media have a chance to ask him about anything. I don't know, man. Like, if you're out there trying to block Kawhi's shot, oh, man, I was just trying to have a laugh. It's like, all right. It also seems really weird. And you're definitely a weird dude. Fat man, hoop, no, you, what is it, LA clan? Like, what are we doing? So, they're a mess, the Clippers. They're only a half game up in the Pelicans in the 4-5 spot. So, bit of a tough one. And then, other weekend losers, me. Because Jalen Green and Zion Williamson. Where was this earlier in the season when I desperately needed you for fantasy? I'm just saying. Jerks. You're breaking my heart. Cleveland are obviously the big weekend losers as well. It feels like, so Donny Mitchell and Jarrett go the Fro Allen, right? Their two-man game when Mobley and Garland were both out. Like, the way that Donny Mitchell kept them, like, afloat was awesome. Like, they were playing really, really good basketball. Now that they've got Garland back and they've got Mobley and they've got Allen, like, they just look, like, really messy and really, really bad. Like, those two, they got and smoked by Miami, right? Mobley was there. They had Allen. They had Garland. And, like, no one could hit a shot. It was disgusting basketball. They had 17 turnovers. They played like dog shit. And Cleveland are big losers from the weekend because, yeah, like, talk about wheels falling off teams. They're now only a half game up on the Knicks for the 3-4, right? And remember, Orlando are right there with the Knicks in the 4-5. So what does that mean, Jim? It means that the Orlando Magic are now only one game out of the 3 seed as the Cavs keep circling the drain. Not great, Bob. Not great. Anyway, let's do the NBA Australia pre-performance of the weekend. Once I find the button, over here. Jeez, Jim, you should probably have this sorted. Yes.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Ah, that is a knife, isn't it? Jalen Green. A shot to the heart. You're to blame. Jalen Green fucked my fantasy here. Brutal. Anthony Davis today with the 36 and 16. It was a fast-paced indie game, though. Feels like a bit of a trick. 30 and 19 for Giannis. Very good. Zion, though, is probably my favorite from the weekend. I've got two, obviously, Jalen Green and Zion, because I talked about them basically breaking my fantasy heart this year. Because Jalen Green has been an absolute fucking tear. But Zion as well, same sort of vibe, right? Where he had the 36, 7 and 6 today, barely missed a shot, and was just out there crushing it, not under the weight of his giant rig, but more just going, oh, Detroit stink, I'm going to kill him. And you're like, oh, watch out, he's on one. 36 minutes, 36 points, a plus 18, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 13 of 14 from the floor. You're taking the piss at this point. What a game. And then he had a really good game as well back on Saturday when the Pelicans went in and took care of Miami, right? 111-188. He only had the 4, 5, and 4. And you go, wow, that's a bit of a weird one. And you think about it for a second and go, wait a second, didn't matter. He did absolutely everything else as CJ McCollum tore it up. And they just kept on winning. That's what Zion just needs to do. Just keep winning. Just keep winning. Stay healthy. You love to see it. Chris Middleton's Jason Kidd, triple-double. I love that. Wembanyama's 31, 16, and 5 with 7 turnovers, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. It's pretty chaos. But, of course, Jalen Green. Jalen bloody Green, 41 points, 15 and 22 from the floor, 7 of 11 from 3, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Over his last 5 games, Jalen Green is averaging 34.4 points a game, 7.4 rebounds, 3.2 assists, and shooting 56% from the floor, 50% from 3, and 80% from the free throw line. Bloody hell. That is awesome. I mean, I'm sitting here like going, Steve Francis 2.0. Now he's just turning into Donnie Mitchell. The exact same as when I used to call Donnie Mitchell Steve Francis 2.0. They're way better than Steve Francis. Who is Spud of the weekend?
Spud, 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 Spud of the night.
Spuds of the weekend. We had a few. We had one that we have to add to the Spud of the Year board. Malik Monk went 0 of 11. 0 of 11. That is one missed shot behind Aaron Gordon and Big Dig Bay, who have the worst shooting marks for the season of 0 of 12. So Malik Monk joins Cam Thomas for the second spot on that list. 0 of 11. That is absolute chaos. Caleb Martin went 0 of 8 as well for the Heat. Sam Merrill went 0 of 6 for the Cavs. Lindy Waters and Evan Fournier, don't Google me, went 0 of 5. Trey Murphy came very close. He went 1 of 12. 1 of 12, 0 of 9 from downtown. That is crazy. And then Chet Holmgren today, the old beanpole, went 1 of 10 against Milwaukee. It was not Algonquin for the good land for Chet. Jaime Jaquez went 1 of 7. Devin Vassell went 1 of 8. Alvarado, Peyton Watson, Wendell Carter Jr. all went 1 of 6 as well. We had a few shocking spuds, obviously, there. But I would have, obviously, very much like to thank our good friends, Aaron Naismith, and Kobe White, as well as from downtown, Klay Thompson and Derek White, for shooting. What did they shoot, Jim? Woo! Chill! And shot 311, you little ripper! Thanks a lot, Kobe White, Derek White, Aaron Naismith, and Klay Thompson. You legends. Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
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 Who's got no mates today? Well, that would be Mikal Bridges out there in New York City. But of course, he's in Brooklyn, and his mates are all on the Knicks. That's right, you might remember that Mikal Bridges, Villanova product, so all like basically most of the Knickerbockers at this point. But Josh Hart just dunking on him as well after they, you know, kick the shit out of him again. It's like that SpongeBob meme where Squidward is looking out the window and he sees SpongeBob and Patrick having fun. Mikal's Squidward. That is, whoa. And to be fair, he's right, because the Nets suck and the Knicks are fun and good. Even though, I don't know, losing OG And we still don't know when Julius Randle's going to be back. The team is going to be weird and squirrely come playoff time. But either way, for the moment, way better than the Nets. And that is definitely an old mate. Like, considering they're mates, and he's like, ah, this guy's got no mates, mate. Look at him. He's Squidward looking at, you know, buddies having fun, and he's got no mates. It's the very definition of old mate, no mates. He's your fucking mate. Pants of the night. Had a couple of really good blocks on the weekend for a bit of pantsings. Paul George got swatted by Kelly Oubre. Absolute just, it was so clean. Go watch the highlight of Paul George being swatted by Kelly Oubre. It is viciously, viciously good. And Johnny Isaac did the exact same thing to the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. I don't know what it is about Johnny Isaac, but that dude loves blocking dunks. He's popped up on the old Pantsing the Night plenty of times this season now that he's healthy. He is an absolute menace defensively. Like, between he and Jalen Suggs, god damn, they're awesome to watch. But we also had a good one. Matty O sent this one in saying, P.S. Old mate, no mate, / pants and nights. Chet Holmgren from the Bucks commentator while Giannis steamrolled him. Go eat some more pancakes. He also got too small by Bobby Portis. It's like, Jesus. Chet's definitely been pantsed and he's copped a bit of an old mate, no mate. So that's a good call. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. The Grim Reaper. Doo-wop, bop, bop, doo-wop. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He shot 9 of 14, 3 of 6 from downtown, and 3 of 3 at the line in that loss to Denver. You love to see it because it was better than Lonzo Ball because, of course, Lonzo's not playing. But you remember James Wiseman, of course. We've talked about James Wiseman. It's a bit to the point where we thought about changing the title of this segment to Better Than James Wiseman. James Wiseman at 24-9-4 on 11-13 shooting the other day for the Pistons. That's awesome because, like, the Pistons stink. But at the same time, if you're just going to force feed James Wiseman just more minutes, you suck anyway. Like, why not? Just, like, I think the biggest knock on Wiseman is that he's, like, not smart in the basketball IQ stakes. And it's probably to do with the fact that he's played quite little organized basketball because he basically got dogged out of the NCAA stuff with Memphis and stuff and was then forced onto a Warriors team, drafted by a Warriors team that was like, you be smart now. And he was like, I'll try. Anyway, so he had the 24-9-4. And then today he had 15-11. Like, he still had 5,004 turnovers, but let the guy play. I kind of love that. Good on him. What about everyone's favorite? Oh, yes. It's a weekend that can only be topped off by having the magic tweet of the day. Major NCAA March Madness Tournament 80-76 upset victory for 14 seed Oakland over the 3 seed Kentucky. Oakland's guard, Jack Golkey, was sizzling hot, draining 10 threes in his 32-point performance to carry his team to a win. His 10 threes were one shy of tying the NCAA tournament single-game three-point record. The state of Michigan came ready to play in the tournament with MSU and now Oakland both winning today. Party popper emoji, party popper emoji. Now, you might remember I read that one the other day. I loved it. It was so good. I had to redo it again. And Magic also had, happy belated birthday to my man Spike Lee, praying for many more. Prayer hands emoji. Thanks, Magic. It sounded vaguely threatening, though, doesn't it? Praying for many more. Or else. Like, what the fuck, Magic? Come on. Finally, dickhead of the weekend.
Dickhead of the week!
Ken, Jaden McDaniels shrubbed Trace Jackson Davies, like, midair. That's a massive dickhead move. Jabari Smith Jr. and Chris Dunn. I'm not sure, like, it's a bit dickhead of the week, but I kind of liked that they squared off. It's like, fucking come on. Come on, then. 1-2 cost the zoo. Off you go. But McDaniel's giving TJD a bit of a shove midair is absolute classic dickhead maneuvers. So. And Tony Brothers, not saying that he likes basketball, is pretty fucking funny, too. All right, back in a second with some yeah-nows right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia. Yeah, now it's brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Yeah, wear it. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. All the pretty pictures are there. Get a hoodie. Get a t-shirt. Get a coffee mug. Get a stubby holder. Go nuts, mate. Go on. Do it now. Do it now. Got to pay for these renos. My fence is literally falling down as well. I literally had to like use some wire to tie it to one of the trees along the side of the house, literally just outside this window of Larry Armour Studios. It was like a wave. Like, that's how bad that fence was. It was like, oh, God. And yeah, the bottom of the stump has rotted off. So, yeah, this has been Renos with Jim. Let's do some yeah-nahs. The Rockets are the perfect example why the play-in works. Yeah-nah, yes! This is the easiest answer ever. I love this because you've got an 11-seed team that just sort of goes, right, we've copped an injury, but it suddenly clicked. And in years past, you're the 11 seed. Like, your fucking season's done. And even if you look at the standings now, if they were trying to track down the 8 seed, they'd be basically shit out of luck. They're like 6 games out already, and they've just won 8 on the trot, right? Like, their season is basically done. But because there's the play-in, the Rockets still get to do this really, really cool thing called fucking winning, because we can, and we're good, and we're learning how to do this shit together, because we've got Jock Landau. The Rockets can't tank. They owe their pick, I believe, to OKC, right? So there's this weird thing where they sort of all swap it all out, where their pick goes to OKC. They get Brooklyn's pick, and Brooklyn's like, ah, what are we getting, bro? So it's like, it's absolute chaos. So it's all weird. It's all cranky and kind of loving it, especially for Houston, because there is, like, Ime Udoka. We've seen time and time again, it takes like a half season for him. Well, when I say time and time again, when he was in Boston, it took a half season for them to figure out his shit. It's taken this very younger Rockets team a little bit longer to figure it out. But now they look awesome and they're fun as hell. And Jock Landau's playing his ass off. So I kind of love it. Will Rusty coming back help the Clippers? Yeah, nah. Yes, of fucking course. They've gone 6-6 in the last 12 games without Rusty. They beat one team with a winning record. The Clippers, like, it's amazing that Clippers are so toast without Rusty, like, washed Rusty Westbrook coming off the bench. But it's because that guy is a psycho, and he's a competitor. And, like, that's the sort of thing when you got fucking dudes like James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, a.k.a. a bunch of fucking wallflowers. They should change their name to the LA Wallflowers. Apart from, like, if Harden isn't surrounded by strippers and, like, little baby and, like, wads of cash, that dude gives zero fucks. Like, Rusty, all he does is give fucks. He's like, here are all the fucks I want to give all the time. Harden's like, ah, I got none. Unless it's like giant wads of cash to throw at little baby. So yeah, the Clippers desperately need just that fire and that desire and that mongrel grit. It's the Dele corollary. Simple as that. Still can't believe Dele got fucking, oh God, that was a bad inbounds. Anyway, Zion Sand Spindles. What sentence is that, Jim? Well, Zion Williamson without Brandon Spindles Ingram. Is this actually good for the Pelicans? Yeah, nah. No, actually. Like, they'll keep winning games like they have done. But I think it's more important for the idea of the Pels, obviously, to have those two playing together as much as fucking possible. Because they haven't played that much basketball together over the years. Because one of them is always fucking injured. So it's a weird sort of mix where you're like, yeah, it's good that Zion can just have a crack and put up his numbers and sort of get himself up to this sort of level that we know he can hit. But the ceiling of the Pelicans is obviously substantially depressed without Ingram just always threatening to go, ah, oh, fuck it, today I'll score 28. What do you reckon? The two of them have played 147 total games together, which is it's like 145, 147, like, which is absolutely chaotic, right? Because I think, if you think about how many years Zion has been in the league, when he was like, what, the first round the first overall pick in the draft. And then when Spindles sort of came in and was part of the AD deal, obviously, it's been since 2019 Zion was in the league, and they've played that few games together. One of them is always fucking hurt. 147. I just want to see them play together because I think the Pelicans can be fun, weird, completely janky, but only if both of them are playing. I think it'll be much easier to sort of slow them down in the playoffs if only one of them's healthy. So, hey, Jim, is Indy the fun team this year? Yeah, nah. They were a lot more fun when the refs weren't trying to fuck up offenses, weren't they? I think we've sort of talked this out a few times. Who's the most fun team to watch this year? And it's still like, you know, the likes of Sacramento, Indy, the Magic are kind of cool. I'm kind of enjoying that. The opposite of fun is the Sixers. The Suns are kind of cool and fun. The Mavs are kind of cool and fun. But I still kind of think OKC like the most fun to watch. You know? Like Houston are kind of like edging towards fun. Indy is just like fucking Yosemite Sam, just both guns blazing. Who gives a fuck? It's awesome fun. But OKC had like the best balance of like SJ is going to do cool shit. Look at Giddy hit some threes today. Awesome fun stuff. They kind of just like Chet's just weird looking. And then Boston, like they're just strangling the crap out of teams and scoring a shit ton of points. They got a point differential of plus 11.8, which is just insane. And like Tatum is kind of good, but I don't know. There's still something I'm just like, eh. That's not that much fun. But the good thing is, they're always on TV. Anyway, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
I don't know if it's that unpopular. The Tony Brothers shit really kind of bugs me. Like, I don't want to know any ref's name. Right? All I want a ref to be is basically a fucking computer that's dressed up as a person. I don't want any ego, pride or prejudice or any of that Jane Austen shit from my refs. I hate how there's like, hey, don't talk to me like that. You can't do that. Show me some respect. It's like, well, then fucking call the game better, dickhead. Look, respect refs. But at the same time, refs, you got to show some fucking respect as well and not be about yourselves. Like, this has been one of the weirdest part of the last, I don't know, what, 15, 20 years, especially when it comes to the NBA, where you have a couple of refs who are seemingly determined to imprint themselves on the game, and it fucking sucks, and I hate it. And shit like Tony Brothers stuff with Chris Paul, you're like, you're taking the fucking piss at this point. Piss off. Anyway. And also, unpopular opinion of the day, I know that Chris Dunn started that fight against Jabari, but if you're the little guy in a fight, I feel like you can't get more games suspended than the big dude. It just feels weird. It's like, he's little. That guy's big. If he wants to have a crack, fucking let him go. Anyway, Outback Takehouse. Let's do it. It's Monday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah. We've got a really good flame grilled take, which is actually just a couple of magpies that we found battered by a couple of cricket bats in our backyard. Probably by squid number two. He just was out there for about 45 minutes by himself, hanging around, and then boom. We chucked them on the barbie. They're looking pretty good. It's grilled magpie wings, and they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is, each of the teams that makes the final four of the in-season tournament should definitely get an automatic play-in spot, at the very least for their season. Only at Outback. This is one that's sort of like looking at the way that the Lakers season has sort of gone. I don't know if I kind of agree with, but I think that would add a little bit more weight. So if you want to take my advice of the, you know, expand the in-season tournament, of course, to go basically through to the All-Star weekend, or at least through January, etc., or at least through to Christmas and then play like the finals around Christmas or New Year's. The reward for that should be, it's like, all right, you at least have an automatic bid on a 10 seed or a play-in or something like that. Because it would be very, very silly if you're in the final four in the in-season tournament and then completely miss the playoffs. So, just getting weird. Like, if the Warriors had won it what would they be doing now? Would they be resting dudes? Maybe. Maybe. All right, Australian Player Watch, right after this.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Bang, 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 bang. Josh Giddey was really good today. Shot the absolute piss out of him. He had 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. Shot 7 of 12 from the floor and 4 of 6 from downtown. That's actually equal to his career best in terms of made threes. Love that. He had 10, 2, and 5 in the win over Toronto on Saturday as well. He shot 4 of 6 and 1 of 2 from 3. So it's good that he's hitting a 3 every game. He's not had a game where he's hit over all March. So for the month, he's shooting 34% from 3. It's pretty good. Pay attention. Keep shooting, Josh. Keep shooting. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em, Landale. Awesome game against the Utah Jazz. He had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Shot 3 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 1 from downtown in 18 minutes as they kicked the crap out of him. God, I love that he's getting a chance. It is fan-bloody-tastic, isn't it? We had a bit of... Did we get Patty? We had Patty Mills, actually. So there was a great Australian Player Watch with Patty Mills up against Cleveland when they smashed him today. He had 22 minutes. He had 10 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Went 2 of 5 from 3, 4 of 8 from the floor. Great to see it because in the last 3 games, he's gone for double figures twice already. Both of them against Cleveland, which is awesome. He also had 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 of 7 shooting in the loss to the Pelicans where they got blown out anyway. 2 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 4 from downtown. But Patty just gives them a little bit of a different look. And also, we'll get to this in the game double or game day. But yeah, Miami love him. They absolutely love him. And that is so cool that he's landed in a place that actually respects and wants him. Blow it out your ass, Atlanta. Who else? We had a bit of doo-wop, bop, bop, doo-wop, shove it up, bop, doo-wop. As mentioned, 24 and 8. That is fan-bloody-tastic. 2 points off his career high, which he had back in, what, February or whatever. And, no, the start of March. There you go, the 26 points. But 24 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. 9 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 6 from downtown, and 3 of 3 at the line. Duop, absolutely smashed. He had 13, 3, and 2 with 2 steals as well against the Clippers on the weekend. 2 by 27 minutes in that one. They lost by 8 in that hilarious comeback. Great stuff by Duop. You love to bloody see it. Oh, yes, mate. As mentioned, Dyson Daniels looks to be back hopefully this week, which is pretty cool. There were no Dallas games for the weekend, were they? But Jingling Joe Ingles obviously played in that Orlando game where they lost to Sacramento. He had 0 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 foul. In his 12 minutes, he shot 0-0, so he didn't take a shot. That's how it rolls sometimes. And for Dante, look, they haven't played since Friday when they beat up on Utah, so it's probably a nice little break for the Mavs. So, good stuff. What about an Andrew Gaze Grey Mum Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence? Andrew Gaze Grey Mumba! All right, Andrew Gaze Grey Mumba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. And we brought this up before. In the damn jeez. Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis, the souvlaki king. Oh, yeah, cheers, Domantas. I'll just have the combination meat, mate. Yeah, tomato. No onion, thanks, mate. Easy on the lettuce. Garlic sauce, chili sauce. Thanks, mate. He's tied Kevin Love for the most consecutive double-doubles since the merger. He's got 53. That's insane. 21 and 15 and 8 the other day. And he is crushing it. I'm loving the souvlaki king, and I love that he's just putting up big numbers time and time again, but 53 consecutive double-doubles is taking the piss. All right, what about the Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Line Em Up Award? Because this is for real, real.
Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Heal
Shooter Shoot
Shoot Your Shot Line Em Up Award. It is, because Paul George is 11th on the all-time three-pointer makes list. Paul George, what a world. 2,222. Past Jam and Jamal Crawford, the other Jam and Jamal who didn't jam too much, But the top 10, Paul George is just outside of it. And he'll probably, well, he'll will pass Jet Terry, who was 2,282. Vince Carter, 2,290, so he'll get past there. LeBron, 2,393. Klay Thompson, 2,436. Kyle Korver, 2,450. Reggie Miller, 2,560. Dame Lillard, 2,589. James Harden, 2,926. Ray Allen, 2,973. And Steph, way out ahead, 3,697. Just silly. It blows my mind that Paul George is like 11th all-time in three-point makes, because you don't think automatically, Paul George, three-point shooter. But he's been around in the exact time that it would make a lot of sense to shoot a shit ton of threes and make a bunch of them, and that's exactly what he's done. Like, for me, it's more impressive that Kyle Korver is like, what, just behind fucking Reggie Miller. It's like, he was a specialist, and that's all Kyle Korver did. So, that's kind of cool. Good stuff. That was a good Shane Hill shooter shoot. Because Shane Hill, if he had played as many years as Paul George has, you know that he'd be right up there with Steph. Just saying. Classic. Classic hammer. All right, Patty Mills Game Day, Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. So, this was a good one. The Heat actually put out a, I think it was on TikTok, maybe, about in the locker room. It's all right, Pat. Like, Spoelstra's like, all right, Patty, we need you to say some words, and Patty's like, all right, Aussie, 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 and someone said, oi, 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 and it's like, who fucking said that? That's awesome. But by the same token, he went, came in, he's like, all right, one, two, three, culture. And this combination of like Patty Mills and Boomer's culture with Heat culture, I am all about it, and I love every second of it. So let's bloody go. Absolutely love it. All right, also, a bit of a throw out to our man Chris Anstey. You can jump into his Taranaki Airs, and he's had a go and posted some a very cool video on IG about it, and his awesome pub. So go check it out. It's a good little venue. They're doing a very cool collab, and you'll be smashing tins. So that'd be pretty fun. That's awesome. Good shit. The pub is amazing out there too, by the way. Jock Landau, 75 points. Green and Van Vliet, not bad. And then he's got the high five. That's very cool. Landau doing the fist pump. Love that. Looking good. And then a very nice shot for Jock. Taking some shots, looking good. But where's the Patty Mills one that I had up before? I did have it there. I'm very, very organized, clearly. Ball of Pat, one new post. There we go. Yeah, that's it. In the clubhouse, the Heat culture. Heat culture, the Aussie way. Thanks, Patty. Love that. That is awesome they all get around him. That makes me so happy. All right, let's do some game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's the weekend?
Bloody good, apart from the fact that I now can't move. That's what happens when you're my age and you're running around playing cricket. Having not played it since November because of your busted finger. I still managed to retire two different times in our first two games and then nearly retire a third, but nothing beats taking a four-wicket maiden. Charlotte take on Cleveland tomorrow. Cleveland are 12.5-point favourites. I think this will be a smashing. The Cavs need a win desperately to stay in that three spot. I reckon they absolutely demolish Raid Charlotte. The Knickerbockers of New York City take on Detroit. The Pistons play pretty tough and pretty hard, and this is a big line. It's 16.5, which is pretty chaotic. And if you look at some of the results of the Pistons of late, some of these really big lines, they've actually sort of pushed teams, at least maybe not specifically to the brink of winning, but they nearly beat the Heat last week, you know, that sort of stuff. So, otherwise, like, if you think about Detroit and New York, Pistons got their big dudes. The Pistons covered that game against the Pelicans today. Only lost by 13. The line was 14.5. The Knicks kicked the crap out of a bad, bad, bad Brooklyn team. They lost to the Nuggets just before that. Beat the Warriors. Beat the Kings. 16.5, though. I think the Pistons sort of just forced their hand a little bit. And I think we get a Pistons cover in New York, where the Knicks sort of go, right, we're taking this game off, and they win it by 8. So I'll take the plus 16.5 for Detroit. Brooklyn, Toronto, even though Toronto are tanking, they're getting 5.5 points at home. So plus 5.5 for Toronto because everyone's like, yeah, Toronto don't want to win. And Brooklyn are like, we want to win. Give me Toronto plus 5.5 anyway because I do not trust Brooklyn to cover a 5.5 point favorite spread on the road because they are horrible. Boston, they take on Atlanta. They're 11.5 point favorites. Opposite, I'm going to definitely take Boston because all they do is win, no matter what. And they are smashing teams. So give me the 11.5. Atlanta, without a couple of their really good perimeter defenders, I'm going to take Boston. Phoenix go to San Antonio. We've seen this happen before. That's right, Bol Bol versus Wemby. That was a good one on the weekend. I think Bol Bol was like, yeah, could you stop riding Wemby's dick, refs? And everyone's like, don't know if you can say that. It's pretty funny. But obviously, having just played, they killed him by, was it 25, 131, 106. I think the Phoenix Suns will continue to keep this as a bit of a get-right vibe, and that's where we land, right? 11.5 points is probably not quite enough. Even with the Spurs at home, I'll take Phoenix minus 11.5 on the road. Between Beal, Durant, and Booker, it feels like they can just keep shredding. And even with Wemby having that massive game, like San Antonio still got killed. So here we are. Washington, they go to Chicago. Now, the Bulls, they've been very up and down in terms of their covering record of late. They've obviously lost a couple on the trot, which is pretty bad for them because they need to, just get their vibes right. Big vibes guy, man. And they did smash the Wizards by, like, I think it was 29 points. Let's have a look. It's like, yeah, 30 or something like that. Yeah, they've beaten by 20 and 29 the last two times they've played, which is pretty brutal. Chicago will be out for blood, I think. It's just a big line, though. Like, 12.5, 13 points. Washington could definitely come back and, like, lose this by 8. So I'm going to take Washington minus 12.5. Plus 12.5. Portland and Houston. Houston are just racking up massive, massive wins on teams. 11.5 points. They are favored at home against Portland. Portland with the rookies, the inexperienced lineups. We're going to get the Rockets to keep this win streak alive. They're going to win 9 straight. Dallas go to Utah after a nice little rest over the weekend. I think they beat Utah pretty handily. These two teams have played, obviously, plenty of times before, but just recently as well. I think it was like, yeah, last Thursday, Friday, right? And Dallas smashed them. So I think not much has changed there. Give me Dallas at the line. 8 point winners at least in Utah. That's minus 7.5. I think Dallas, no problems there. Utah are just so squirrely. I don't know. Stealth tank, but yeesh. Memphis, Denver. Big interesting one because Memphis just play hard all the time. Denver are 14.5 point favorites at home against the Grizzlies. This obviously had been the Memphis Hustle featuring Triple J. Of late, it has been the Memphis Hustle featuring Desmond Bain and Santi Aldama and Triple J. But the Grizzlies, I mean, they got a win over the Spurs the other day. Had a little bit of rest. Denver did also rest Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Can the Grizzlies' grit get them over the hump and cover this line? I reckon so. They sort of just play teams really tough. It's a 14.5 point line. That's a backdoor cover if ever I saw one. They lose by 14. Philly go to Sacramento. Somehow, Philly are 9.5 point underdogs in Sacramento. I'm taking that in a heartbeat. Give me Philly. They gave up the ghost against the Lakers, turned around and beat the Clippers on a back-to-back. The Kings, I just don't trust them. And that's where I land with this. The Kings, that win that they had the other day was really, really good. But, and this is a big but, like, they beat the Magic. Great. What do they do when they play another good team? Back-to-back. It's just weird. Take Philly plus 9.5. Then you got the Clippers taking on Indy. Indy, having just played the Lakers, on a back-to-back now take on the Clippers. That is a really tough ask. I don't know. Can Indy keep a run-up? I think the Clippers have a pretty good chance of winning this one with Indy on a back-to-back, having just gone running back and forth. The last time they played, it was 151 to 127. It's being a little bit more, reffed into oblivion now, but they just did play 150-145 game against the Lakers today. I think the Clippers beat the Indiana Pacers because the Pacers will be a little bit gassed after today's game. It's a 6.5 point line for the Clippers. Give me that for the Clips. And there you go. That's it for today. Nice one. So we'll be back on deck tomorrow. We'll be in the studio. So in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG, and of course YouTube, where you can now watch all these shows. That's fun. Why not? you can see me ranting and raving about all the good stuff. But you can also really get around AFL Today. The AFL Today show, of which I'm the host, is really fun. If you like your AFL footy, it's got everything sort of covered. We're sort of, I want to hear like what you think, what you want to see in the show, because we're sort of just like trying to like shape it a little bit as we sort of go. Doing three shows a week, the Sunday night wrap-up show for your Monday, Midweek Madness on Wednesday, and then like the team's live stream on Thursday, which is really fun. So get around AFL Today if you like your AFL footy. You can also get around the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast, of course, NFL Australia with myself and Gaz. Chuck a rating review for all of those on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It really does help. Come on. I don't ask for much. Just go, oh, Jim, you're doing a good job, buddy. Thanks, mate. Thanks. Get around nbastraight.com/shop. Get some merch, or just click through on the socials, whatever you need to do. Big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song They Rule. And House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show, so smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. However you support your bands, do it. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And that's it. We'll close out with a quick deli review of June 2. Don't know how you managed to fit that in during the NBL Finals, but here we are. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna! The fuck age, it's your old man Deli over here just swinging by for my latest pop culture view. And I gotta tell ya, I've had a pretty bloody rough weekend. Like the Pies, they're on 3, some bullshit. We're down 2-1 to the fucking Jackies. Like that fucking bloke Chris Bubbles Gording fucking dogged me on my inbounds the other day. And then fucking Jack McTrey McVeigh fucking dumped a giant fucking bomb over my head after I'd thrown the log on the table and basically won the game for us. What the fucking hell's going on, man? Either way, the missus, she was like, right, need to take your mind off all this NBL finals malarkey, and I really want to see that Dune too. And I'm like, all right, sure. And so she organised it all, went to see it at IMAX. I'm like, this is great, just hang out, no squid, just chill out, don't have to worry about basketball for a couple of hours. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck happened in Dune 1? I had no idea what was going on, mate. I'm like, who the fuck is this bloke? Isn't that Willy Wonka? What's he doing out in the desert? Can't make chocolate in the desert. This is fucking... Where's his Oompa Loompas? What's going on? Where's your Oompa Loompas? And then I'm like, wait a minute. Nah. This is the one that had, like, the bloke from Star Wars as the dad in number one and, like, spice and, like, worms. Right. And then I'm like, right, now I'm aboard. I remember this guy. Timothy Shamalamalay or whatever his name is, Willy Wonka. And then you got Zendaya's. She's pretty good. She's from like Spider-Man's or whatever. And like, yeah. Like they're doing rooting in the desert or whatever. And you're like, yeah, cool, man. Like, no spoils and nothing, but like the sandworm shit's pretty fucking gnarly, eh? Like, just fucking, they're like, hey, what did I hear? I'm going to fucking eat it. And you're like, yeah, I'll pay that. I'm same. Like, ring the dinner bell. Daily comes a running. They need a feed. Like 5 o'clock down at the pub. Off we go. Anyway, like June 2, like it's just chaos, man. Like there's this Austin Butler bloke. He's off his chops. Like you got the bloke from like Guardians of the Galaxy. He's off chops. Like everybody like that is off chops. And you got like the Emperor. He's off chops. Like they're all off chops. And it's just fucking weird as. And you got to drink some shit. And it's just like fucking nuts. So I had a couple of beers, had to take a lash, had to wait it out. It goes fucking forever, but I'll tell you what, Dune 2, it is a spectacular. That's right, it's a spectacle. And I enjoyed it immensely. So it gets about 26 out of 10 deli ones from me. Go watch it, go see the IMAX. Pretty fucking big, isn't it? Big desert. No Oompa Loompas. Anyway, go check it out. That'll do it for this week. Till next time. Later, fuckos. Deli out. Dune 2. Go United!